So that would have to be Amarillo Little Theater. They are some talented people. And just know if I ever leave the chamber, it'll be to pursue a Broadway career with them.
You're listening to Buff Speak, the official podcast of the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University. I am Dr. Nick Gerlich, your host, as we meet up with the thought leaders making an impact today.
If there is one thing we know about demographics, it is that they are in a constant state of flux. They're always changing, reflecting the aging, the dying, the birthing of a population, as well as the mix of ethnicities, household composition, income, education, even religious preferences. It makes for a lot of numbers, the kind of things that demographers, the U.S. Census Bureau, and cities grapple with on a regular basis. Here in Amarillo, our population has been changing as well. In addition to growing to about 202,000 in the city and about 275,000 for the metro area, and I use that word carefully because this is not Dallas, we have seen a steady increase in the Hispanic population. Today, Hispanics account for about 34% of Amarillo's population. It's a little less than that of the state in whole, which is 40%, but it reflects the slow but steady change in the composition of our population. It should come as no surprise that many Hispanics are entrepreneurs, launching a wide variety of businesses, and they are a very vital part of the local economy. But like any business, there is a need for connectivity and networking as well as promotion. And that's where the Amarillo Hispanic Chamber of Commerce comes in. My guest today is Jennifer Anguiano, the executive director of the Amarillo Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to the show, Jennifer. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your story and how did you come to find yourself in the executive director role?
Yeah, so thank you so much for having me on. I'm super excited to be here. So I grew up and I was born and raised in Amarillo, Texas. I'm a diehard Texas girl. But I actually graduated from Caprock High School in 2019. And I learned about the Hispanic Chamber through an internship program, PRO. I was interning with Lovell, Eastern, and Faribault in their immigration department, and they're members of the chamber. So that kind of just, you know, I met the ED at the time, Ruby Moreno, and she was fantastic. And once I graduated and I went into Amarillo College, actually the opportunity of the office manager position came about, and the same, my mentors at Lovell, Eastern, and Faribault, they were like, you need to take that chance and it'd be a great growth opportunity. I was working at Chick-fil-A at the time, and I was like, what qualities do I have, you know, that would fit that? And my pleasure came in really handy, actually. So, you know, it was, I think it was an amazing, you know, connection there. I applied for office manager, I was hired, and they gave me an opportunity. And come, you know, I joined right at 2020. So it was kind of a hectic time, and it was a great learning experience for not just me, but for everyone, you know, everyone at the chamber. But after that, Ms. Ruby Moreno decided to step away from the chamber. You know, she was going on to other things. So they had me come into the interim position while they found someone. And through that 6-month period, it was kind of like a little trial time for me, you know, and just, I guess they liked the way I was handling myself and learning and really just taking care of the chamber. They decided to take a chance on me, and I've been there ever since. And I'm super grateful for that opportunity.
That's great. I mean, you're a very young woman and you have a very important position already. That's quite an accomplishment. So I think that's great. You also have very deep ties to WT. Tell us about that.
Yes. So go Buffs, first of all. I actually graduated this past December from the business program, and it was an amazing opportunity. I was an online student, but even then, I think that my experience at WT was just amazing. They have so much to offer. The university itself is an amazing place, and there's no better place than WT.
On the chamber's website, you mentioned that your family came from the state of Jalisco, Mexico. But you were born and raised right here in Amarillo. So are you first generation American born then?
Yes, I actually am.
Okay. And what was it like growing up with such close connections to Jalisco, yet out here on the High Plains? So this would be your parents who came from there, and yet you probably got lots of connections. You probably have family there. Maybe you have visited there, I presume. What were the challenges in for your family and becoming acclimated to Amarillo, Texas, because it's, I'm sure it's very, very different. I mean, Jalisco is, it's far southern Mexico. It includes the cities of Guadalajara and in the interior in Puerto Vallarta on the Pacific coast. What was that all like?
So my family is actually from Guadalajara and I've visited a few times. And I think that seeing the lifestyle over there and how different it is from how we were raised over here and everything that we have here, I think it just makes me value all the sacrifices that my parents made that much more, because you see how their lifestyle was there and how it is now, and you know how different my life could have been if they had chosen to stay in Mexico. You know, I don't think I would have as many opportunities as I would have had here. So I think that it just makes me value everything and it makes me so much more grateful.
And so how did their lives change? I mean, what kind of work did they get into?
So actually, whenever they were over there, my mom pursued a business degree. However, you know, she wasn't able to finish that. My dad pursued a degree as well in university. However, you know, not everything transfers to the U.S. So they had to make such great sacrifices to be able to come into that. My dad does construction. My mom helps him out. You know, so they've had a very different life and their outcome was very different from the degrees that they had pursued over there. So, you know, it's very different and they have, you know, just acquainted themselves so well. I can't imagine, you know, how it was coming to a country where you know nothing, you absolutely know you don't know anyone. So I think that, you know, that challenge was great. However, they've overcome it and they have made our lives just the best that they could be.
That's great. So what prompted your family to want to move to Amarillo, Texas?
So I think it's, you know, like many, just the American dream, that opportunity to be able to provide a better future for your family and for yourself. The American dream, like many of us, you know.
That's the story of America, though, isn't it? I mean, my great-grandparents immigrated in the mid-1890s, that seems so long ago now, from a portion of eastern Germany that's actually now part of Poland. And like so many other Germans in that era, they settled in Chicago. They were in good company. There were plenty of other Germans there. I suspect they came pretty much for the same reasons that your family did, which I find that so inspiring. It's easy to take for granted what we have here now, but all we have to do is just look back to those who took a chance, literally took a chance. So they drove or they took a boat or whatever and came to the American shore, if you will. Opportunity is, it's pretty hard to dismiss. And if there's anything the U.S. is known for, it's just that. So what did they do when they first arrived? Did they wind up in construction immediately or other things?
So we were actually blessed enough. We have a lot of family and friends from Guadalajara that they had known. We don't actually have a lot of family here, but friends that they grew up with, they had actually come to Amarillo and established themselves. You know, we had about two families that my parents knew previous, you know, from their time in Guadalajara and Jalisco. So they actually got acquainted with them. They had the opportunities and they all went out there and they searched for what they could do. My dad was, you know, he grew up knowing how to do construction, cement, concrete, all that stuff. So he kind of just applied that into the opportunities that they had here. They had a good family friend that had a job in this field and he brought him on. And that's kind of just how we were going on. My mom, you know, she had me and she was at home taking care of me. She started working at a restaurant actually. So she told me that sometimes she would walk through the snow because we didn't have a car. My dad, sometimes he told me that once I was wanting a pizza. I was like two. I was asking for a pizza. They didn't have a car. So he walked through a blizzard to get me a pizza, you know, so those stories, I'm like, wow, like I need to value everything that they've done for me.
And snow is something they don't have in Guadalajara.
No, it's the complete opposite. It's always sunny over there. I think the cold for them is like 70 degrees.
Oh, that's tough, isn't it?
Oh, it's hard life. Rough. Yeah, it's hard.
Was their assimilation difficult? I mean, did they speak any English when they arrived? I mean, I know my great-grandparents knew a few Eastern European tongues like German and Silesian and a little Polish, but not a word of English. But their work ethic translated perfectly regardless. So once again, I bet your family story is pretty much the same, right?
Absolutely, yes. Somewhere along those same lines, actually, my parents didn't speak any English. The work ethic is what kind of just got them through. You know, they're very hardworking people. They have that mentality. You have to work hard to get ahead in life. So I think that that's what translated directly and has, you know, given them all this opportunity. They have English, you know, very well established now. I think they even speak it better than I do at this point. But yes, they didn't actually speak any English, and I didn't speak any English because they didn't. They couldn't really teach me. So Spanish was my first language, and we kind of just started learning as we went.
So you had Spanish spoken in the household by necessity, but it slowly transitioned into English because you went to school here and heard English, of course, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And your parents learned English. And so what's it like now when you converse with them? Do you speak Spanish or is it English?
It's actually both. My dad, you know, we have conversations in Spanglish.
Right.
That's kind of our language now. And my parents, they always love to practice English as much as they can. They speak, you know, Spanish in the house, and they'll throw in English every once in a while. Like I said, it's more Spanglish than anything.
For many years, we believed in the old melting pot metaphor that everyone immigrating was poured into a cauldron, melted down, and then they emerged, were forged into a new entity, U.S. citizen. And it was a great metaphor for the time, especially since back then, practically everyone was the same color. They were all Christian. They were from the same continent, Europe. The only difference was their language between all these different European nationalities. Today, our immigrants come from many different places, have different religions, eat very different foods, and are of various races. To reflect this change, we now use the salad bowl metaphor, which means that together, the salad tastes great, but each ingredient, the crouton, the lettuce, the tomato, the carrot, the dressing, each retains its own distinct flavor. And that's what I like about the new generation of U.S. immigrants, because together we make a powerful population because of our diversity, our uniqueness, our individual flavors. We're much stronger for it. Jennifer, what flavor do you and your family bring to the table?
So I was actually thinking about this a lot, and I was like, you know what? We're not a salad. We're like birria tacos. That's something that's traditional from we come from, and they're delicious, you know, and we kind of just, we're all the different components. We're the tortillas, we're the carne, we're the cilantro, we're the consomme. Consomme, I probably would be the consomme. It's my favorite thing out of the entire dish. But, you know, I just like to think that we're unique. We're, you know, something that I think adds a lot to our community. You know, all of these families, all of our individual selves add so much to the community, and that's what I like to think. So we're birria tacos, basically.
That's great. And do you have any other academic goals, like a graduate degree maybe? Or
so as of right now, I don't think so. But there's always that opportunity to grow, and there's always opportunity to be better. So, you know, I think I just want to keep moving up and challenging myself, not only personally, but professionally. You know, after the chamber, when that time comes, I want to continue to challenge myself and see how I can continue to improve and really just be better for me and for my family.
Now, you said your parents had attended university, so you are technically not first generation college student in your family. But how important is higher ed to you and your family, and specifically, you know, for a family that is still relatively new, I guess, if you will, to the U.S.?
So it's very important to us. My family, my parents have always told us, we want you to get the education that we couldn't finish being in Mexico, you know, because my mom, she wasn't able to finish her degree. My dad kind of just barely made it through, you know, with all these challenges, with all this idea of a new life going into the U.S. So they always encourage us to finish our education, to pursue education, because they know the opportunities that could open up with our degree, with our experience.
And how important is higher ed in the Hispanic community?
So I think as of most recently, it's been a lot more important than it was back in the day, because usually you graduate high school, you go straight into the work field. You know, that's how it's been a lot of the times for Hispanics in the past. However, now I think that we're doing a great job of letting them know, hey, your kids can finish high school and they have so much more going for them. They have this opportunity to go to Amarillo College, to go to WT, to pursue these degrees and really pursue their passion. So I think that as of recently, it's just been a tremendous growth in the amount of support that students have been receiving from their families to be able to pursue this passion of theirs.
And what are your goals for the future? I mean, you've already achieved quite a bit at your young age.
So, like I said, I just want to continue to challenge myself. And I've always said it, my like dream job is to go straight into Pantex. You know, I think it's, you know, many have that dream to go into Pantex. We have a board member from Pantex, and she's just amazing. And she always talks about the challenges and the opportunities for growth and everything that you could have going for you there. So they're actually a really good supporter of ours. They support education and they help us out a lot at the chambers. So I think I've kind of gotten an inside look, and, you know, it's like the ultimate goal for me. But I just want to find something in which I can challenge myself and continue to grow and learn, because you're never done learning.
That's so true. After the break, we'll take a look at the chamber, its members, and the services it provides.
The MBA is the most popular graduate degree in the United States, and with good reason. It leads to better jobs, promotions, and salary increases. At the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University, our MBA program is entirely online for when you're ready to make that move. With as few as 31 credit hours and specializations offered in five areas, you can fast-track your career in as little as 18 months. Whether you're looking for a promotion or initial job placement, you'll stand head and shoulders above the competition. And because we've been teaching online since 1997, we're not the new kids on the block. Trust your education and career to dedicated faculty who are not only experts in their fields, but also old pros in the online arena. Our consistently high rankings say it all. A GMAT waiver is available. We're AA CSB accredited and among the most elite of business schools around the world. Reach for the stars and do it with a WT MBA in hand. For more information, find us at wtamu.edu/COB or call 806-651-2500. From the Texas Panhandle to the world, we're here to help you reach those stars.
I noticed that on the Chamber's website, your bios and important text are in both English and Spanish. How important is this for serving the Hispanic community? I mean, any idea how many of your members and website visitors scroll to the Spanish instead of the English?
So I would imagine that it's actually a growing amount. We have a lot of bilingual people that have recently joined the chamber. We have a lot of strictly Spanish speakers that have joined the chamber. And I think it's very important for us to encourage that diversity and support that diversity. It's a really great opportunity for them to see, you know, that we service in both English and Spanish. We love to use our Spanish anytime that we can. And I think it just sets us apart. It sets us apart to have that available to anyone that's looking through our website.
One thing that I've come to learn in my international travels is that Americans in general tend to be very remiss in not speaking more than one language. In Europe, it's not unusual for people to speak five or six languages. Maybe it's a function of the fact that the countries are really small and they all bump into each other, Germans and Parisians and Dutch and English and so forth and so on. So it kind of behooves everybody to know a lot more languages. But here in the U.S., we've not been so good about that. And actually, Spanish is about the only language that is taught in a lot of high schools anymore. Used to be they would offer several. Now it's maybe Spanish if you're lucky, and that's about it. But I'll tell you what, in the Southwest here, I fully believe there is no reason. And we can't do better than this. And by that, I mean, we should all be at least somewhat conversant in Spanish. I mean, after all, 34% of Amarilloans are Hispanic, 40% of Texans are Hispanic. And if we go west from here, only 75 miles away to New Mexico, New Mexico is the only bilingual state by law. It is part of the culture, and it's that close to us. What are your thoughts on this? Do you offer help for Hispanic-owned businesses who need a little help with their English? Do you encourage bilingualism? Do you lean toward English as the ultimate goal?
So with me being bilingual, I obviously encourage that because it has opened up so many doors for me. And I love helping the community in both English and Spanish. It just makes me that much more satisfied with what I'm doing. So I always encourage bilingualism, any opportunity that you can get, because it's so important. You know, like you said, nowadays, in present time, and we actually do have members that offer English classes for Spanish speakers, for anyone that's wanting to learn the language. We all know that coming to this country can be difficult, especially if you don't know the language. I mean, I've been through it. So we have the Amigo International Learning Center, which is one of our members, and they actually offer these classes. They offer English classes, citizenship classes. They offer so many resources for our community to use.
I just got done teaching a class a few minutes ago, and one of my students is from Albuquerque, and we were talking about this very thing. I was actually prepping them and prepping for our podcast by kind of talking about some of the same talking points here. And he mentioned a family member of his who works at Home Depot in Albuquerque, and how this family member only speaks English, but was continually being taken advantage of by Spanish-speaking contractors who could speak both and could basically take advantage of her in a bad way. So really, the burden, it's kind of a two-way street. We need to be learning more Spanish, and it's good for the Spanish-speaking to be learning English so that we can all communicate on a truly level playing surface.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great opportunity. If you learn both languages, I think that it opens up a lot of doors.
Last summer, my brother and I traveled to Central America, and we made a pact between us, no English except for what we say to each other, like in the hotel, but everything else was to be done in Spanish. Now, this is a couple of old guys who hadn't taken Spanish courses since university 40 years ago. So it was a little rusty, and we actually kind of like to speak in Spanish now and then to each other, just on the phone, just to try to keep some of it fresh. But, you know, baptism by fire, it can actually end pretty well, because we didn't go hungry and we never got lost. And so that actually kind of spoke to our ability. And yeah, I confess every once in a while I had to use Google Translate to lend a hand, but it all came back pretty fast. And we were really pleased with that. How do you recommend your chamber members communicate with their customers and clients? One way or the other, or just being sensitive to knowing which to use at the right time?
So in terms of communication, it's actually very impressive. And I'm glad that you asked this question, because it's been very heartwarming. A lot of our members are actually taking the time and making the effort to communicate better with their Hispanic clients, because they know it's a whole new market that needs these resources, that needs this this help, these services. So they're making the effort to learn a language, and a lot of them have actually been hiring bilingual representatives to serve as a representative with us, to serve as a representative to help and service the community that so much needs the help. So it's been very impressive to see. And with us, you know, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, I mean, I think that we've just been, like I said, it's heartwarming to see them do that.
What types of businesses do you have on board as members? I mean, I looked through your website a lot, and I saw a long list that was like, wow, this is not just some little organization. This is the real deal. Tell us about the types of businesses you have.
So we have a very diverse board of directors, and we have corporate businesses, we have local businesses. I mean, we have, you know, a representative from Reed Beverage, which is Coors drinks, and we have the owner of Scotty's Transmission, which is a local Amarillo business. So we have a very diverse board, which actually helps us understand businesses at different levels. It helps us better suit their needs, better promote them, better get them the exposure that they so much need. So it's a great opportunity for, you know, to encourage diversity and understand our members and be able to serve them the way that they deserve.
So it sounds like you have members who you might characterize as being more like Anglo businesses, but they want to further cement their relationships within the Hispanic community. Is that a fair assertion?
So they have representatives that are actually Hispanic. A lot of, like the owner of Scotty's, he's Hispanic. Mr. Art Perez, he's actually Hispanic. So we have, like I said, it's a very diverse board, and we understand, you know, the diversity at each level, and it helps us make the chamber what it is. It helps us work well together. It helps us better serve our community. And I think, you know, we have an amazing board. We have an amazing board of directors.
So among your members, do some of them hold memberships in both your chamber and then the broader Amarillo Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah. So we actually encourage it a lot, as well as they do. We work very well with them. They're our friends. We love the Amarillo Chamber. So we encourage memberships with both, because it helps you reach two different communities, two different demographics. And like I said, we have joint ribbon cuttings a lot of the times with both of our members, and we encourage it. However, some of them have a membership with the Amarillo Chamber. Some members have specifically with the AHCC. We like to say it's the best of both worlds when you join both, but we work very closely.
But you're not really, you don't see yourself as competitors then, right?
Right. No, there's no competition. At the end of the day, we're here to do the same thing. And that's better serve the community and provide the resources that everyone needs.
So what are some of your success stories in the chamber? I mean, tell us about some of the types of businesses you have helped. And if you're able to give specific examples, that'd be great. If not, just, you know, in generalities.
Absolutely. So the one that comes to the top of mind is, his name's Joseph Angano. We have the same last name, but we're not family. A lot of the time, he won actually our Volunteer of the Year award at the banquet. And I was like, it's rigged. I was like, no, we're not family, I promise. But, you know, just messing around and playing around, our members are amazing. But he actually joined in March of last year. And whenever he came on, he was shy and really reserved. He didn't really know how to approach someone and, for example, give a business card or anything like that. And if Joseph's listening to this, don't hate me, Joseph. I promise you it ends on a good note. But he was very shy. He held back. I remember the first Hora Social that he came to, you know, I was kind of just walking him around and introducing him. And I was like running out of people to let, you know, kind of just introduce him to, you know, to talk to. But after that, he's shown up to like most of our events, every ribbon cutting, Hora Social, Café con Nosotros, every networking opportunity. So it's been a really amazing growth for him. He's gotten so many referrals. He's signed a lot of business onto him through us. And every time that he can, he'll stop by with us. He'll let us know, hey, I got you this person. Hey, do you have the contact for this person? He's really the definition of like networking at its best. But he now is actually a board member. He just got voted onto the board. We work with him so closely, and I think he's amazing. He's amazing. And I think that he's, I tell him all the time, I'm like, Joseph, you're like our biggest success story.
He's your poster child.
Yes, he really is. He should be the face of the chamber because he does so amazing. But yeah, story has been one that's been very, very near and dear to our hearts.
How many members do you have? And any specific member benefits through the Hispanic Chamber that they might not get from the Amarillo Chamber?
So we have a little bit over 300, which is actually awesome. We've been growing a lot, and we've been receiving a lot of support and a lot of referrals from our members. So they're seeing the value, and they're reflecting that. They're showing that to us by sending these referrals and getting us all these people to sign up. But we have a little bit over 300, and there's a lot of member benefits. We offer so many, but aside from what we offer, we try to go above and beyond to provide what our business members need. We want to better serve them in a way that is specific to them. And any idea that they come up with, that they bring to us, we do our very best to make it happen. So I think that kind of just sets us apart. We encourage the diversity, and we see them as family. We see all of our members as family. And how do you want to treat your family? You want to do the very best for them. So I think that really makes us stand out.
Great. Now, I understand there's always going to be new businesses coming along from within the Hispanic community, but do we have companies coming to Amarillo that are by definition Hispanic or maybe even of international origin?
So we actually have a few members that are moving into Amarillo or that have moved to Amarillo. For example, Cacique, they're out of California, and they're a huge member of ours. They're a huge supporter of ours. And they came in, they're Hispanic owned, and they're doing amazing things. And the fact that they chose Amarillo, they said it was because we were friendly right off the bat. We were so welcoming, and that obviously is super important for Amarillo. We're a very welcoming community. That helped them choose Amarillo, and up to date, they're happy with their decision. They support the Hispanic community greatly. They're very involved in Amarillo.
And they have a new factory here, right?
Yeah. So they actually have their factory kind of towards the City View area, right off Georgia Street and closer to the Loop. But yeah, their facility is amazing. They did a ribbon cutting. They had tours, and it was just, it is such an amazing project.
And tell me about their products.
So they have anywhere from salsas, cremas, cheeses. Oh my gosh, their cheese is the best. But they have a lot of products that really just help people get a taste of the Hispanic culture. And it's delicious. It's absolutely delicious.
And where can we buy these?
So they are at all the stores. So you could find it at Walmart. You could find it at Amigos. You could find it at United. You can really find it anywhere. They're at the local carnicerías too, La Supereconómica and Mercadito Latino. So you can find them literally everywhere.
You know what I like doing? I like going up to the boulevard to go to the ethnic groceries. I've been to Asian and I've been to Hispanic groceries. Do you get to shop at those very often? Because they have very unique fruits and vegetables that you don't find at United or Walmart.
Oh, you can find me there every other day. My mom, she'll be making dinner. I forgot this. Can you please go grab this whenever you're out from work? Okay, mom, yes, I'll have. So they basically know us by name there. Like, hey, Jennifer, what'd you forget this time? Or what'd your mom, you know, we're there so often. But yes, that's like our number one go-to.
And some of the packaged foods are imported as well. I mean, I've been there enough to know that I see certain American things that are just, you know, like general consumption, everybody eats, you know, like a spaghetti sauce or something like that. But there are other canned items that I've noticed that the packaging is really not in English, except for the mandatory information that the FDA would require and, you know, the calories and whether it's got seafood or nuts or something in it. But I think everybody needs to go to an ethnic grocery just to, you know, just for the learning experience to see all these different foods. And if you're feeling a little adventurous, buy some different things. I started going to the Hispanic ones after I got back from Costa Rica. It's like, okay, I got to find some rambutan and yuca and some other things that I had down in Central America that you just don't find anywhere else.
Right. Yeah. And like you said, it's definitely an experience that you can't miss out on. You have to go and you have to try on. You just have to see all the things that are available for you to try and take home and hopefully enjoy.
That's great. When we come back, we'll take a look into the crystal ball for Hispanic-owned businesses in Amarillo as what we do here at the Engler College of Business and what can we be doing to help all this.
There's a reason why our programs are rated so highly by independent reviewers. We are committed to continuously improving what we do. Whether it is in the classroom or online, the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business strives to stay ahead of the curve, not behind it. Join us in the classroom or online and see the difference. We're WACSB accredited and among the most elite business schools around the world. Reach for the stars and do it with a WT business degree in hand. For more info, find us online at wtamu.edu/cob or call 806-651-2525. From the Texas Panhandle to the world, we are here to help you reach for those stars.
Recently, the Engler College of Business launched a marketing campaign in which we specifically target Hispanic students. And I say that in the past tense, but the truth is, we're recording this on Monday, the 26th of February, and it's actually today that we launched the campaign. We are committed to serving the Hispanic community. We are, as a university and also the College of Business, Hispanic Serving. It's HSI. It's, you know, it's an acronym for something that reflects our commitment to the Hispanic community and the changing demographics of our area. We're very, very proud of our Hispanic student body. Personally, I love that some of my best students are first-gen Hispanic. That just makes my day. I love to see this. And what really makes my career worth it all is when I go to graduation and I see our students, especially first-gen students, and they could be first-gen, white, first-gen Hispanic, and when they hear their name voiced from the stage, I hear their family erupt in applause and cheers and stuff. And more times than not, it's our Hispanic students' families who are just erupting into applause because they're crying tears of joy. This is a big deal. The ads that we are showing are on Telemundo. Throughout West Texas, from Amarillo to Lubbock and Midland, Odessa, they have both Spanish and English versions. They're half and half. We have a lot of students who give testimonials. We recorded them in both languages. We have one of our professors who is a native Spanish-speaking person. We have her in one of these ads as well. What's your take on higher ed among the Hispanic population in our area? I mean, is this like the natural progression of things in terms of like assimilation and all that, and just becoming more and more part of the fabric of the area?
Like I said, I think education has become super important to these families, to these students as of most recently. So like I said, back in the day, you graduate from high school and straight into the workforce. You're going to go find a job and that's where it ends, you know? And I don't think that they realized the opportunities that they had. Now we've done such a good job of getting into them early. We've gone into middle schools, high schools, and let them know the opportunities that they have. You know, Amarillo College, WT, they're both amazing places to study. WT is, I mean, it's such a great university. I don't think a lot of people want to stay close to home. I did, but they don't see what they have here. And it was the best experience for me.
And you were online.
Yes, I was online. So, you know, if I was online and I had the best time, I can't imagine what it was, you know, for an in-person, you know, student and this amazing opportunity that they have. So higher education is definitely super important. And it's a great opportunity that if you have it, you need to take it. And anyone has it. So you need to take it.
Do you have recommendations for any specific academic areas, or are you just happy to see them going off to university?
I think I'm just happy to see them going off to university to pursue a passion because, you know, and with you saying that, something comes to mind. My dad has always told me, you know, from when I was little up until today, he doesn't get tired of saying it. When you do what you love, you don't work a single day in your life. It's not work. It's you're doing what you love. So any passion that you decide to pursue, any degree, any career path that you decide to pursue, make sure it's what you love because then it's not going to be work at
all. See, that truth translates perfectly into any other language as well, doesn't it?
It absolutely
does. Yeah, it's all about the hard work. We have about a half dozen faculty members here in the College of Business who are fluent in Spanish. While all of our classes are necessarily in English, we are able to reach out in Spanish. Now, like I said before, about 30% of our students are Hispanic, and while not all speak Spanish, we are able to make that connection as needed. And if somebody were to call the undergrad office and only spoke Spanish, we could go grab somebody down the hall. How important is this to you as well as your chamber members?
Once again, being bilingual has been amazing. You know, it's opened up so many doors for us, and it allows us to reach that community, better service the Hispanic community. I think that it's amazing that you guys have all this opportunity for people to show their skills and practice that Spanish and service the people who need to be serviced in Spanish in another language. It highlights just how much the community is changing, how much we're integrating, you know, how much we're making those efforts to really serve everyone that needs to be served.
What else can we at the Engler College do to assist the local Hispanic businesses as well as students?
I think that everything that you guys are doing is amazing. All the opportunities that you're providing for these students, how well you work with the businesses here in town, here in Canyon, here in Amarillo. I think a lot of the times I hear career advancement is difficult for some of our students. And I say this because I've had a lot of friends. I was given, you know, I was taking a chance on and it's worked out for the chamber so far, but not everyone has had that same opportunity. Not everyone has that same chance. And a lot of the times, not a lot of people want to take that chance on them. So I would say, you know, this is where we can come in and form that really big partnership. We give scholarships to WT, but this is just another opportunity for us to partner and work together. Get these business members to give graduating, you know, students an opportunity because a lot of the times they're like, okay, well, I can't bring you on because you don't have experience, but they can't really gain the experience if they aren't given that opportunity. So this is, I think, a great way in which we could partner our organization, partner with WT and open up those doors for even more students because, like you said, I've accomplished a lot at my young age because of that opportunity, because of that chance that the chamber gave me. And I think that if I can do something to provide the same opportunity and that same chance for a lot of these students, it would just, I mean, it would make Amarillo even better. It would make Canyon even better. It would make us all around a better place.
Well, we happily welcome you.
Awesome.
Send them our way. If you had to give like a state of the chamber address, you know, talking about what you're doing there and what Amarillo's Hispanic-owned businesses are doing, what would you say? I mean, where do you see Hispanic-owned businesses going in the next decade? Are there any trends gaining traction these days and any new opportunities?
There's always opportunity for business. And I think that that's what sets us apart. you know, we work closely with the EDC, Amarillo EDC, and they're actually the ones that brought Cacique and they brought Amazon. And, you know, they have all these projects and they have all this room for more growth. Amarillo is growing tremendously. So there's always opportunities for you to come in. And, you know, as far as Hispanic businesses, they're experiencing, you know, immense growth. And they're contributing significantly to the local economy. I think that they're doing amazing. They're showcasing their business resilience within the community. And I mean, we're just growing. We're growing.
Demographers recognize Hispanics already outnumber whites among Texans with 40% Hispanic, 39% white. It's close. It's almost a tie, but things are changing and they will continue to change. And I suspect before long, Hispanics will likely achieve majority status, topping 50%. There are other parts of the country where this is already old news, like Miami, Florida. You've got Hispanics, you've got blacks, you've got whites, and I think whites are in third place there. You get an idea what it feels like to be a minority then, right? When you go to Miami, I think that's a good thing for everybody to feel at some point. Anyway, how will this affect business and culture in our state as we continue to change and become more and more Hispanic?
It's all about that diversity. It really is. And we encourage any diversity. We encourage all diversity. There's so much, like you said, the culture. There's so much to learn about all these different cultures. And if we can really take the time to welcome and make the effort to learn about all these cultures, I think that, you know, Texas, more than anything, is going to be a better place. It already is so great. You know, and I think that encouraging that diversity and welcoming those cultures will make it even better.
And bring food, right?
Yes. Birria tacos. Bring some birria tacos.
Any idea how long before Hispanics will surpass whites in this area?
I mean, it's challenging to predict the timeline. However, I do think that with, like I mentioned previously, the increasing diversity, it makes us unique and it's going to make us continue to stand out among so many others. So, I mean, although we can't tell, I know it's going to be a great thing.
And is the chamber ready for this change? I mean, you've been building up, you're growing. Are you ready to keep it growing?
I mean, we encourage any growth. We love growing and we love just how much support we're receiving from the community, from everyone in Amarillo and Canyon, the surrounding areas. We have members in Hereford. You know, we're starting to expand throughout the panhandle. So any growth, we welcome it and we encourage it and we're grateful for it.
And what about you? Are you ready for all this change?
I mean, it's a learning experience. It's definitely a learning experience. Like I said, you never stop learning and gaining that knowledge and really just growing professionally and personally.
My guest today has been Jennifer Anguiano, Executive Director of the Amarillo Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Jennifer, give us your best shot.
So with everything I said, this is what I'm going to go ahead and close it off with. So believe in yourself, and you have the strength to turn all of your dreams into reality.
You've been listening to Buff Speak from the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University. Our executive producer is Justin Lovell, and Allison Hunter is our associate producer. Our co-editors are Maverick Evans and Paul Torres. Lindsay Bjork is our director of marketing and outreach initiatives, which includes overseeing Buff Speak. Dr. Jeffrey Babb is director of accreditation and is our technical consultant. Finally, Dr. Amjad Abdulat is dean of the college. You can find us online at wtamu.edu/cob for more information about our programs. Be sure to check out our many academic offerings. Come for the quality, stay for the small classes, affordable tuition, and friendly, approachable professors. And look online at our faculty blog, profspeak.com, for more insights. You can listen to Buff Speak on your favorite podcast portal, as well as on our website, buffspeak.biz. And if you like what you've been hearing, don't be afraid to share us with your friends, colleagues, and family. Word of mouth has always been the best form of advertising. Until next time, love one another. For the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University, I am Dr. Nick Gerlich. And as always, go Buffs!
Buff Speak.